Welcome, welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Welcome to the Boone Podcast. I'm Brett Boone, and today on the program, I sit down with a Yankee legend, three-time All-Star, and a two-time World Series champion in 1978. He was the World Series MVP. Hit one of the biggest home runs in Yankee history, and I'm excited. He's sitting down with the Boone Podcast. Welcome, Bucky Dent. Bucky, thanks for coming on the program.
Glad to be here, man. Glad to be here. Love to talk baseball.
Okay, I've got to clear something up. When I finished playing, I did a beef jerky commercial. When I was playing, I had a buddy, John Ashton, who plays Taggart in Beverly Hills Cops. I was in San Diego. And they wanted him and the whole production crew. They were filming a movie. And the producer came up and he asked if he could get 12 tickets for everybody. And I said, wait a minute. I said, what am I going to get for that? I want a part in your movie. So, and I said, and I have to have a star on my trailer when I show up. I did the whole thing. I played a cop. I was a fish out of water. It was the weirdest thing I've ever done, but it was fun. I think the movie went straight to video. Okay. Pinup poster I want to know about, the Playgirl shot in the bathing suit, and you were also the love interest on a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader movie. Give me those three.
Well, the first one I did was the 78. I did the after the World Series, I did the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader movie, and I was the same way like you, fish out of water, you know, but it was fun. I learned a lot about, you know, different things because I used to like to go and watch, you know, I used to like to, you know, watch the people shooting scenes and stuff like that. But the poster came about after I got back. They wanted me to do a poster, and I went to the stadium that day, and there was actually, they had taken all our uniforms out, and I only had shorts and a cutoff shirt, and it was about 30 degrees. So I had my sweatsuit on. So we walked out, and I said, okay, let's go. And just took it off and just started holding the bat, doing some different things. And they wound up picking the one picture that wound up becoming the poster. But I think it sold like 100,000 the first month. But the guy that owned the rights to it passed away. So it kind of got caught in limbo. So they only wound up selling like 100,000 of them. But yeah, it was quite an experience.
You played for... You know, I played against him for a long time. Never played for the Yankees. I always thought in the back of my mind, you know, at the end of my career, because I loved New York. There was nothing like it. And I was just kind of watch you guys from afar. You know, we played in different eras, but I played for a real eccentric owner in the mid-90s, Marge Schott with the Cincinnati Reds. And it was, there's so many stories. It's unbelievable, but you played for the boss, Steinbrenner. Just want to know a little bit about him let me just tell you, as an opposing player, we would look at the New York Yankees and Steinbrenner, and you never know what he's going to do next. And you know, say some outrageous things. As a player that played for a lot of different owners, some that wanted to win, some that didn't really care. And were basically there to count up the rubles and make sure we're all right at the end. As a player, I don't know whether you agree with me or not, all we care about when we're in that, for a small time in our life, we're in that room together downstairs, all we care about is winning. So I always used to sit there for the critics of Steinbrenner and say, well, I'll tell you what, as a player, I know at the end of the day, he wants to win as much as anybody out there, and he's going to do it. He's going to go to great lengths to do it. Now, what comes with that is, pretty critical owner. If you're not playing well, you might be on the cover of the sports page with your owner blasting you. As a player, I didn't care. I would take that in return for, I know going into each and every year, the big boy, the guy upstairs has got my back, and all he cares about is winning. And I can deal with all the sideshow. Give me a little bit about George Steinbrenner. You played for him. You managed under him.
Loved
you got
him.
Hired, you got fired.
I got hired,
like everybody
got fired,
does.
You know, I loved playing for him. Like you said, he wanted to win. And I think, you know, when you go over there, I got traded over in 77. I had met him in 73 when I was playing with the White Sox. I was a rookie. I went to a Bulls basketball game. Never been to a basketball game before. And sitting there, and these four guys walk up in front of me, and they sit down. And the guy sitting next to me, my buddy, goes, "You know who that is?" And I go, "No." He goes, "That's the owner of the New York Yankees. He's suspended right now. You want to meet him?" I said, "Sure." So I tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around. I said, "Mr. Steinbrenner, I'm the shortstop for the White Sox, Bucky Dent." And he goes, "I've been trying to get you, kid." And I started smiling because the Yankees were my team. But as far as an owner, when I got traded over there, I think anybody that goes to New York when he was the owner understood the bottom line was it was to win. And like you said, he was going to call you out if you weren't playing well or if you weren't, you know, doing the things that he wanted you to do. You know, he was very passionate about the Yankees. You wore your uniform right. You cut your hair. You know, he had rules that he wanted you to go by. But as far as winning, he was going to do everything possible to put a team on the field that was going to win. And he did, you know, in 76, they lost, you know, to the Big Red Machine. Then I came over there in 77. Reggie came over in 77. And, you know, we won his first championship in 77. Then we went on to win in 78. But, you know, he was a guy that, you know, you knew the ground rules when you played there. You know, I knew when I took over to manage, when I came up from AAA, that the bottom line was to win. You know, the only one thing that when I took the team, I told him, I said, "This team is not very good right now. And we're light in the minor league because I was a AAA manager. It's going to take time." But he didn't have patience, you know, so I wound up getting fired like everybody else. But I loved playing for him. He was passionate. He was going to do everything possible to make you winners. And that's what he did. And he loved his players. You know, even when I retired and left and came back and managed and in the minor leagues for him and stuff like that, he took care of his players. He loved his players. And I got nothing but respect for the guy. I love playing for him.
Now, guy that was a big part of my life and my career, and you know, I always, guys that come on the show all the time, there's always a story. Was Lou Piniella. I played for him in Seattle, and to this day, one of my favorite men in all the game. You know, I came up early in my career. I got a chance to play for Lou, and we couldn't be farther apart. I mean, we're going to fisticuffs. And the second time around with Lou, I was a veteran player. It was a different story, and it just. I love Lou. He's the best. I haven't had too many people, though. A lot of my colleagues, a lot of my peers, a lot of my teammates played for Lou, played against Lou as a manager. But I haven't had too many recounts of as a teammate. Lou is a player.
Lou is a player. I tell you what, very smart, outstanding hitter. You know, he loved the game. He was really a lot better outfielder than people give him credit for. You know, he didn't run very fast, but he was a really good base runner. He got great jumps on balls in the outfield. He was a guy that would make you laugh because of the things that he would scream at the pitchers. And he was a fiery competitor, and that's the way he played. When he managed, I think he managed a lot like Billy Martin. I mean, he just didn't like to lose. He was a tremendous competitor and a great teammate, and I love him. And when we get together at Old Timers Day or whenever we get around and he starts telling stories, he is hilarious. I'm telling you what, he's got some of the funniest stories that I've ever heard. But a great player.
There's only one Lou. There's only one Lou.
I remember when we were playing you guys, and he just would make me chuckle. You know, I'm coaching with Texas. And
yeah, 01. 01 was last year with Texas, yeah.
Yeah, we're going in 96. We're going for the pennant. We're playing you guys the last week of the season. And we go in there, and I think we had maybe a one or two game lead. And the first night we're playing, and the pitcher got in trouble in the first inning, and he sent two guys down to start warming up. You know, it's almost like he had two guys warming up every inning, you know, for that game. And so the next day I walked over to him and I said, you know, I said, "Hey," I said, you had that bullpen going pretty quick last night. And he goes, let me tell you something. If I had 10 mounds, I would have had 10 pitchers warming up down there, you know, but that's the way he was, you know, I mean, he just didn't like to lose. And he was just a fiery competitor, and I love playing with him.
He was the best. I mean, I'll tell you this. This is what I found out. I cracked him finally. The bottom line is if Lou respects you as a player, yep, and he respects you as a man, he will take a bullet for you. If he doesn't, man, I've seen some teammates of mine, and I've seen certain personalities throughout the years that he's dealt with. If he doesn't respect you in both both categories, it might be a long year for you, and you're not going to be around very long. That's how Lou was. And you know, I tried to explain to new guys coming in, this is what you got with Skip.
Right.
And, you know, some guys were his cup of tea. Some weren't. You know, I saw a lot of young players he got rid of because of that. You know, he didn't want any part of him. But, yeah, Lou, awesome. Quick rapid fire, and I want to get into your career and your travels. Just some of your teammates, because I'm a kid in the 70s. You know, my dad's playing for the Phillies, and right. And some of my fondest memories to this day, you know, obviously I have a lot as a player, and we always, you know, the time we played is always the best, but I'll tell you a lot of my fondest memories are going to the ballpark as a little kid, watching the teams of the 70s. It was a different, for me, it was a golden era of baseball. I mean, probably because it was my childhood, but I just loved it. And you over in New York, you had some unbelievable guys. We've had Reggie on the podcast, and he went on as only Reggie can do. But I just wanted to talk about a few guys. I got a story for you about Billy and the only time I ever met Billy Martin, and it's pretty funny. But just a quick rapid fire, Thurman Munson.
Great, great, tough player. Love playing with him. I love playing with all the guys that I played with in New York. I mean, they were just baseball players. And Thurman was a great leader, a great captain. He was a guy that could sarcastically say something to you that would like catch you off guard, you know, and it would anger you, but you knew what he was doing, you know, like he would walk up to you and if you were struggling a little bit, you know, around the batting cage, and look at you and go, are you trying? You know, I mean, just say things to you and break the ice, but love playing with, played hurt. Tough as nails, one of the toughest guys I ever played with, but he was a great guy. I loved him.
Ron Guidry.
Oh, Gator's my man. You know, I talked to him quite a bit, but probably one of the greatest years I've ever seen a pitcher in 1978. He was just electric, just dominant, and a great guy, and, you know, one of the best lefties that I played with.
Reggie,
I love Reggie. You know, Reggie and I got along real well because he actually got traded. You know, he came over and went to spring training in 77. I got traded the last day of spring training. So I came over and we both were kind of like in the same boat. You know, Billy didn't care for him. And for some reason, Billy didn't care for me either. You know, so we got along really, really well. He's a guy that, look, he was a big game player. Reggie has always been Reggie, but again, I love playing with Reggie. You know, I mean, just, you know, enjoy playing with him.
And Billy Martin. I mean, I've had, I'll tell you quick, I was in Anaheim. This is when my dad was with the Angels, and I worked in the visiting clubhouse, and the Yankees came to town. I was like the ball boy down a right field line. So I was kind of there, you know, how the clubhouse kids are, we're kind of at your disposal as players, and players would have me run errands for them. I'm in the back doing laundry. Billy Martin has no idea that my dad's catching for the Angels, just thinks I'm a clubhouse kid, which I kind of liked it. That was the way I wanted to be treated. He said, hey kid, come here. I said, all right. I'm like 15. Mm-hmm. Says, I need you to go upstairs to level 3. Ask for, just for argument's sake, I'll say Julie. Tell her Billy needs his vodka. Billy Martin's town, whatever. I just want a tip, you know. Right. I run up there, I get it done. I come back. You can give him his vodka. Everything's. I tell Dad the story on the way home from the ballpark that night. And Dad ain't having it. He goes, you're going to tell – Billy Martin's not going to have my 15-year-old son running booze for him all over. Next day, here comes my dad. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to get fired. Big, you know, not a fighter, a dust-up, but dad gets in his face. And don't you ever – you know, and Billy's like, I didn't know that was your son, Bob, and this and that. I thought he just works here. Right. Which, you know, if when we go as players, we go somewhere, we don't sit there and calculate, hey, can I see your ID so I can ask you to go get me something that you need to be over 21. I don't really think it was Billy's fault. Just how kind of my dad was, that straight arrow, just do it by the book. And that was my funny story about Billy Martin. But just anything on Billy, quick line on Billy.
Well, Billy, you know, look, Billy was a good manager, you know, a lot of guys liked playing for him. I played against him, you know, was with the White Sox. And then I was excited to go over there and play for him. But for some reason, he didn't really care for me or Reggie. When Goose came over, I don't think he cared for Goose either. But he was a guy that was a good game manager, but I didn't get along with him. One of the favorite guys that I played for with the Yankees was Dick Houser. Loved playing for Dick. Dick was a guy that was a good baseball guy. He let you play, you know, and he didn't, if he had something to say to you, he'd come up and say to you, and he had a sarcasm way of saying it to you, but you got it. And I really enjoyed playing for him, but Billy was not one of my favorite managers I played for.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.